Freedom is coming, freedom is coming, freedom is coming, oh yes I know. Freedom is coming, freedom is coming, freedom is coming, oh yes I know. Freedom is coming, freedom is coming, freedom is coming, oh yes I know. Freedom is coming, freedom is coming, freedom is coming, oh yes I know. Freedom was freedom, freedom was freedom, freedom is coming, oh yes I freedom. Freedom was freedom, freedom was freedom, freedom is coming, oh yes I yes I know, oh yes I yes I know, oh yes I yes I know, oh yes I know, oh yes I 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 know, oh yes I know, oh Jesus. Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming, oh yes, oh Jesus, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming, oh yes, oh yes, I know, oh yes, oh yes, I know, oh yes, oh yes, I know, oh yes, I know, oh yes, 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 I know, oh yes, I know, freedom is coming. Freedom is coming, freedom is coming, oh yes, I'm freedom. Freedom is coming, freedom is coming, freedom is coming, oh yes, I yes, I know, oh yes, I know.
Good morning and welcome to this service of worship and praise to our living God. We are here today to give him glory and praise and the honor that's due his holy name. So I'm glad you've decided to join us on your device or in your living rooms or your kitchen tables or in your cars or wherever you happen to be as you are worshiping with us today. Today is Pentecost, Pentecost Sunday. As you can see, the banners have changed in church today. We celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church to empower the church to witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he is Lord and Savior of the world. And so that Holy Spirit is with us today too, always with us as we worship God and give him glory and praise and to listen to his holy word as it's read and proclaimed to us. Tomorrow is our council meeting where we discuss some of the things about the church gathering again and what that might look like and maybe when. And so continue to be in prayer for the Holy Spirit's guidance as our council gets together. We also have the joy of hearing the public professions of faith of two young people. So we praise God for that work of the Spirit among us, even during this time of being distant. And pray for them as they profess their faith to council. And we look forward to that day when they can profess their faith in a gathered worship service as we are in person one day. In the meantime, I trust you've been able to worship at home, been able to receive our emails with the bulletin information and announcements regarding the church. Because the church hasn't closed, doesn't need to reopen necessarily. We've just stopped worshiping in a building. And Christians continue to gather, continue to worship, continue to lift up praise to the living God wherever they happen to be, whether they're alone in their homes or with just their families. We continue to be God's people. We continue to do the work and the ministry of the church the best that we can. But I trust you've been able to worship at home, and I hope you have received those bulletin announcements and the liturgy for our worship services. Facebook and our website are also good places to go for more information or up-to-date information about what's going on or what's coming up here at Fellowship Church. So I want to remind you of those avenues. Also, contact your district elder or deacon if you have any questions. Please feel free to contact me or Sue Loss, our church secretary. We can help answer any questions too. So let's come together today to worship God with our call to worship. The love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We dwell in him and he in us. Give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, and speak of all his marvelous works. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And now may the Lord bless you as you worship today. May he fill you with his Spirit so that you may overflow with joy and hope and power. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. God's will for our lives this morning comes from Galatians chapter 5, where it says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature, along with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." Would you join me in a prayer of confession? Generous God, you send us the Spirit of courage, but we have been afraid. You send us the Spirit of truth, but we cling to our illusions instead. You send us the Spirit of healing, but we cannot let go of our hurts. Holy Spirit of forgiveness, come to us once again today. Shake our hearts. Set our souls on fire with your love. And send us out into the world rejoicing in your power, your strength, your majesty and grace. We hold out to you all of our particular burdens of guilt and sin today, knowing that we have fallen short of the glory of God. And we ask for your help to live the way of your justice and your love. For this we pray in Christ's name alone. Amen. People of God, hear these words of assurance of pardon, these words of assurance of forgiveness. In Jesus Christ, we are healed, we are renewed, and we are set free. And I invite you to join me in the responsive reading for the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 20, regarding the Holy Spirit. The question is, what do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? First, he, as well as the Father and the Son, is eternal God. Second, he has been given to me personally, so that by true faith, he makes me share in Christ and all his blessings, comforts me, and remains with me forever. Praise be to God that we are forgiven, renewed, and restored by Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's come together in a time of congregational prayer. God, who promises the Holy Comforter, we praise your holy name for your marvelous loving kindness and your many gifts. Especially this Pentecost Sunday, we give you thanks for the promised outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "I will not leave you as orphans. The Father will give you the Holy Spirit, who will never leave you and will lead you into all truth." And so we praise you, Father God, for all the gifts and graces of the Holy Spirit given to believers and shown in the lives of those who walk by faith. We thank you for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. May each of these fruits of the Spirit grow in abundance in our congregation, Lord. We thank you for all who, through the Holy Spirit, have been convicted of sin and led to repentance. We praise you for all who, through the Holy Spirit's indwelling, are enabled to live a holier and more Christ-like life. Continue your gracious work in our lives, we pray, O Lord. Expel every sinful desire and enable us to live a victorious Christian life. Lead us to a better understanding of our salvation and what that means for our place in this life and this world that you so love. And so help us to always be sensitive and obedient to the leading of the Spirit in our lives. Lead us as a church, Lord, seeking to be faithful to the Word of God and also seeking to love our neighbors in a world of social distancing. Holy Spirit, guide our council meeting tomorrow evening as we deliberate and discuss and make decisions. Bless our state leadership as well, our health departments and hospitals, our police and grocery store workers. We pray for Minneapolis today, too, for your healing, for restoration and reconciliation, and for peace. In times of frustration and change, Lord, may the fruit of the Spirit be evident in your people, in our responses, in the words that we use, and in our attitudes. And through it all, may you receive all of the glory, Father. And now hear us as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And I encourage you to continue to be faithful in your giving as we receive the offerings and the tithes of God's people to be a blessing to God's church, the Church of Jesus Christ here in Big Rapids, but also around the world through the ministries and missionaries that our church continues to support even during this time. So please continue to listen to the Spirit's leading as you give and pray what the Lord may be leading you to give, whether it's of time or of talent, of certain skills, or abilities, or of resources and money. The Lord has a use for you and all of us and our resources. May they continue to be a blessing to others, especially those who are in need. So we come before God's Word today. We're going to be looking at the book of Acts chapter 2 and the story of Pentecost. But let's first pray for that leading of the Holy Spirit in the prayer of illumination, where we pray that the Holy Spirit would open our hearts and our minds that we may understand the Word of God aright and afresh for today. Let us pray. Empowering God, we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to move us to understanding, to help us to believe the gospel, to receive the truth and the grace that is found there, and to give us strength and wisdom to live by it. So as we open the Word this morning, Lord, we pray that you would guide and lead us, and Lord, you would help us to understand your Word afresh this morning and to sense where you would be leading us individually, in our families, but also as a church together, and where you would lead us into the future. So guide us today, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. So I invite you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. We'll be looking at the Pentecost story of Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. In the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, hear the word of the Lord. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." And then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews, and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on earth below, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As I mentioned, today is Pentecost, that day where we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God upon the church, where the church is empowered by the Holy Spirit to take the gospel good news that Jesus is alive and to take it to every nation, to the ends of the earth. But it's not as if the Holy Spirit just showed up once and then disappeared and never was heard from again. The Holy Spirit continues to be present in the lives of believers and in the life of the church today, too. The Holy Spirit continues to help believers, God's people, to believe in Jesus, to remind us of the words of Jesus, to help us to live righteously, and to evangelize, to share that gospel good news, to be witnesses to Jesus, to people all over the world. Jesus as the Savior of the world, not Jesus Savior of the Jews or Savior of a few people in the Middle East, but Jesus as Savior of the whole world. But Christians aren't the only ones to talk about spirit, are they? Or being filled with a spirit. In the military, there's a talk of esprit de corps, and maybe in other spheres of life too. Esprit de corps, it's a French word that means spirit of the body or spirit of the group. And so a definition, according to Collins Dictionary, says that it's a feeling of loyalty and pride that is shared by the members of a group who consider themselves to be different from other people in a special way. In other words, there's a spirit of the group, a spirit of the military unit that can be cohesive and strong and very powerful. That's an esprit de corps. Athletes also talk about having a spirit of the team, a spirit of a franchise in professional athletics. And so if athletes and in sports, we can also talk about having an esprit de corps. When I was growing up in the 80s, I was about 12 years old when the Detroit Tigers won the World Series in 1984. And I remember hearing the phrase as we went into 1985. The phrase went like this: "Will the spirit of 84 stay alive in 85? Will the spirit of 84 stay alive in 85? So when we're talking about spirits, we in the secular world today, we talk about a spirit of the age or spirit of the times, like the spirit of 76, the spirit of the 1920s, spirit of 84. Or we can talk about the spirit of 2020. What's that spirit going to be like? I'm sure it's going to be remembered for a long time now. Well, public schools are actually still allowed to talk about spirit, too, as long as we're talking about school spirit, right? Here's an example of a class battle cheer that cheerleaders might use. "Who's got spirit?" Everybody says, "We've got spirit. Freshmen, stand up and let us hear it. Freshmen rock, there's no doubt about it. If you don't believe us, just hear us shout it. Sophomores are great, there's no debate. Better listen to our cheer, because we know how we rate. Juniors are cool, because we rock it old school. We'll do the cheering while the rest of you drool. Seniors rule the school, yes we do. We've got way more spirit than the rest of you." So even in public schools, we talk about spirit, right? We talk about spirit. Public schools have what's known as Spirit Week to help students get excited about their school and to bond with one another over the pride of their school. And so they have the Spirit Week to encourage this excitement, this joy, this oneness, this esprit de corps in the school and among the students and the faculty and staff. Psychologically, today, too, we talk about people having a certain spirit or having a new or different kind of spirit. Some people, we say, have a wicked spirit. Other people would say, oh, she has such a good spirit. Or somebody says, it's a mix of personality and mood or emotionality and disposition. We might have an energetic spirit or a melancholy spirit or a bitter spirit. Or we might say somebody has an angry spirit. They're just always angry, right? Or a mischievous spirit. And all of these, of course, change from person to person, from day in to day out, based on mood and feelings and whatever else is going on in life. So psychologically, we talk about spirit as well, a person having spirit, even in modern psychology. But what is spirit? When Christians talk about spirit, we're not just talking about emotionality or personality, are we? We're not talking about a mood that changes all of the time. We're not talking about getting excited about our school or about our military unit or being a part of the special team at work. No, Christians talk, when they talk about spirit, they're talking about a deep, abiding, and enduring spirit within them. It's invisible, but it drives their lives. The Bible speaks about being spiritually dead in our sins and our transgressions in Ephesians chapter 2. But then it says we are made spiritually alive in Christ. We are made spiritually alive in Christ. So bodies are walking around out there with dead spirits, dead souls within them, spiritually dead souls within them. Physically they're alive, spiritually they're dead. And that's what the Bible talks about, Ephesians chapter 2. And that deadness of soul, that deadness of spirit drives their lives, their behaviors, their actions, their attitudes, their outlook on life and approach with other people. A dead spirit has an impact on your life. And the same is true for Christians who have a spirit that has been made alive in Christ. It affects their behaviors, thoughts, relationships. Well, do Christians only talk about having a personal spirit or soul? Of course not. There's the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity. He's a person and not just a force. He is divine, as the Bible declares him to be, and as our catechism declares as well, where it says, first, he has, as well as the Father and the Son, is eternal God. And as it also says in Lord's Day 20, he has been given to me personally, so that by true faith he makes me share in Christ and all his blessings, comforts me, and remains with me forever. He's been personally given to me. So it's not just a spirit out there somewhere, not just the great spirit that's out there and only out there somewhere, but the spirit in here, the spirit within our hearts and lives. Not just any spirit, but the Holy Spirit of God. And that's not just, we're not just talking about personality and disposition. We're not talking about emotionality or getting excited and worked out and being self-expressive. That's not what we're talking about when we talk about Pentecost and we talk about the Holy Spirit of God. In Acts chapter 2 of the Bible, it speaks of the apostles being filled with the Holy Spirit on that day of Pentecost. You see, they had already been following Jesus. They had already learned a lot about Jesus over the years. They loved him, they believed in him, and they were obedient in many ways. But before Jesus ascended into heaven on Ascension Day, he promised that he would send them the gift of the Holy Spirit. But why? Why did they need the Holy Spirit? If they already believed in Jesus, if they already knew in their heads so much about him, lived with him, walked with him, were there at his miracles, why Do they need the Holy Spirit? What was the Holy Spirit going to do for them? And what will the Holy Spirit do for us? Well, let's first look at that first day of Pentecost, the day of Pentecost. As you remember, before Jesus ascended into heaven, he told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the promised Holy Spirit. And it said in Acts 1, verse 14, that they were together. They were all together in the upper room, along with the women and with Mary, the mother of Jesus. And it says they met together constantly in prayer. And during this time of prayerful waiting, they elected Matthias to replace Judas, the traitor. And they engaged in a time of prayerful discernment, a nominating process, narrowed it down to two people, and then they cast lots with prayer to see who the Lord would have for them to replace Judas. It's very similar to the way that we choose new office bearers, elders, deacons, pastors for council here in our church. But then on the day of Pentecost, when they were all together, it says in Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, suddenly the sound of the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them to do so. Normally, violent winds would cause us to go running into our basements or our cellars or some other form of shelter. When we think of violent wind, we think of hurricanes, tornadoes, or cyclones. But there in the upper room, there in that upper room, the apostles and everybody else, the wind was followed by what seemed to be tongues of fire. What seemed to be tongues of fire. It may not have been real fire, if you're wondering why their hair and their beards didn't catch on fire and why the whole place didn't go up in flames. It may not have been a real fire. It seemed to be, it says. It looked like that to the apostles. It seemed to be this fire that separated and rested as tongues on the heads of the apostles. Then once they received the Holy Spirit, they were able to do something more. They were able to do something that they were not able to do before they received the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They prayed for the gift, they waited for the gift, they received it, and then they were able to do more with the Holy Spirit, something they probably never imagined they'd be able to do. The word tongues here in Acts chapter 2 is referring to other languages versus the ecstatic gift of praise or a prayer language. The Apostle Paul addresses later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 where there are issues with speaking in tongues in a gathered public worship setting. So other languages or other tongues here means other languages here in Acts chapter 2. This was an incredible miracle. You see, these are people from Galilee, from the Galilean region, people who hardly ever left their fields or their fishing nets. There's no way they knew all of the many languages of the known world at that time. In verse 5, it says, "Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. They were bewildered because they heard the message in their own heart language, in their own mother tongue." People from the ends of the earth were there in Jerusalem that day to celebrate the Jewish festival of Passover or the barley feast festival. People would bring in the first fruits of the harvest and they would bring a gift, an offering to God to bring it to the temple as a gift to God. So it was during this time that instead of people bringing a gift to the temple, bringing a gift to God, God sent the gift to his people. God would bring the gift of the Holy Spirit. Just as God disclosed himself at that feast, that barley harvest feast, which also remembered that God showing or revealing himself to his people on Mount Sinai through Moses and the law, the giving of the law, God was God's self-disclosure. God was revealing who he was and his will for his people there. And so at the same time, here at Pentecost, God is revealing himself to his people once again through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so the people from around the world were amazed, perplexed, bewildered, and wondered, what does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean indeed? What is going on here? Well, the second thing I want to talk about is the work of the Holy Spirit, or the works of the Holy Spirit. Of course, the Holy Spirit has been around long before that day of Pentecost. One could argue that the church, being the people of God, have been around a long time before that day of Pentecost too, which is usually considered to be the birthday of the church. There are plenty of references to the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. The Spirit at creation, of course, hovering over the waters of creation. God breathing His Spirit into Adam, breathing into his nostrils the breath of life. The word breath can mean spirit as well. So God breathing His Spirit into him. The Spirit of the Lord also came upon many judges and warriors and kings and prophets. If you've ever read the Old Testament, you know the Spirit is coming upon people to do miraculous and wonderful things for God's purposes and God's will, to bring deliverance to His people, etc., etc. So the Spirit would come upon many warriors, kings, judges, prophets back in the Old Testament. And of course, there are those references in the Old Testament to the promised gift of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would be poured out, like Ezekiel 36, 27, where it says, "And I will put my Spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and to be careful to keep my laws." And Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, "And afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days." In the Old Testament, we often read of the people of God having the Holy Spirit come upon them in extraordinary times to perform miracles for God's purposes. But in the New Testament, after Pentecost, we read of God's people being filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit in us when we believe and we are baptized. The Holy Spirit develops our faith and our Christian character and begins to grow within us the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. The Spirit fills us to empower us to grow in these gifts, in this fruit, and in faithfulness and righteous living according to God's ways that are spelled out in God's Word. But what we'll also see throughout the book of Acts and other New Testament books is the Spirit coming upon for ministry, or works of ministry at particular moments, episodic. Every once in a while, the Spirit comes upon one of the apostles or one of God's people in order to perform a miraculous work. And some examples of that work are enabling God's people to praise boldly or to speak courageously about Jesus to governing authorities or to hostile groups, to bring spiritual and physical healing, and to grow the Church of Jesus Christ throughout the world. The Spirit wasn't only active in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit continues to move through God's people, empowering God's people today to continue that work of Jesus throughout the world and continuing the growth and the spread of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So third this morning, I want to talk about the results of being filled with the Holy Spirit. When we say that someone is Spirit-filled, what are we talking about? Again, is it emotionality? Is it someone who's very self-expressive and wears their emotions on their sleeves? Is that what it means to be Spirit-filled? Well, when we say someone is Spirit-filled, we're saying that there is a controlling and driving force in their life. And it may or may not have anything to do with emotionality, okay? It's like Svengali. It's a word that my wife and I continue to hear. A number of years ago, we picked up that show on TV that shows these old weird movies, and it's called Svengali. And then I started hearing that word on other TV shows or movies that refers to somebody as their Svengali. I'm like, what does this word mean? So every time we hear it and see it on TV, we look at each other, and what does that mean again? And we have to look it up again. Svengali is just that controlling person in somebody's life, somebody who controls or has undue power or influence over somebody else, usually in to do bad things. So that's Svengali, is that controlling power or influence of another person in someone's life. Well, it's similar to the alcoholic who's filled with liquid spirits, and they're controlled by that chemical in their bodies. Their behavior, their thoughts, their relationships are all impacted by that controlling or driving force of alcohol, and it's usually not good. Something similar happens when someone is filled with the Holy Spirit. When we cooperate, when we listen to, when we obey the Holy Spirit in our lives, when we allow the Holy Spirit to be a driving force or that controlling person or influence in our lives for good. The Holy Spirit is an opposite of Svengali. The Holy Spirit is that controlling, powerful force in our lives that directs and drives our lives for good, for our good, for the good of others, for the glory of God. So what does this look like then? Well, the Holy Spirit gives us a whole new outlook on life. We see things. I'm talking about once we believe in Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit, because we start to see things from a biblical perspective, from a godly perspective. We see in the book of Acts that God's people are given a renewed boldness and courage to proclaim the good news, the gospel message of Jesus Christ. They're given joy and unashamed praise to God, creativity, powerful, sacrificial love for one another. The Holy Spirit changes our outlook on possessions and money, on marriage, on the meaning of life and death. In other words, the Holy Spirit-filled Christian is one who is not who not only has learned a lot about Jesus over the years and trying to do the best they can and be the best person they can be. Holy Spirit Christian, filled Christian, strives to walk in step with the Spirit every day of his life, listening to the prompting of the Spirit, obeying the leading of the Spirit, allowing the Spirit to direct the path and direction in life. It's not just head knowledge. It's not just knowing a lot about Jesus, but living with Jesus every day, living with the Holy Spirit every day, praying, walking in step with God's Spirit. So the first result of the fullness of the Holy Spirit is a more intimate relationship and walk with God. A more intimate relationship and walk with God. A second result of being filled with the Holy Spirit is new power and energy for ministry. New power and energy for ministry. After all, the Spirit was given, says Jesus in Acts chapter 1, that his followers would be his, what? His witnesses. His witnesses from Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria to the ends of the earth. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, Jesus says. We are Spirit-filled for the purpose of evangelism, sharing the gospel message of Jesus Christ to the whole world, to all nations and all people groups. And I think that's a very important point in our reading today. The gospel isn't just for the Jews or just for a few Christians or a few people, but it's for all people, for every culture, every nation, every language of the world. Three different times we're told in our passage in the Acts chapter 2 about how people of different languages could hear the message in their own language. Verse 4, verse 6, verse 11. How important that is. That people of every culture, every known nation of the world was there, could hear the message. And later we know they would respond, many would respond. Well, Peter was emboldened, it said, to stand up and to speak up by the Holy Spirit, it says in verse 14. He's no longer afraid to say what he believes. He's no longer afraid to let the world know that he is a follower of Jesus and they should be too. So he stands up in this crowd and speaks up. So Peter stands up and delivers a sermon explaining and expounding upon the Old Testament prophecy of Joel, chapter 2. God promised that he would pour out his Spirit on young and old, men and women. Sons and daughters will prophesy, it says. Both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. Peter is saying, these are those days. These are those days. This is what's going on here at Pentecost. The Old Testament prophecy is being fulfilled. This is what you're witnessing right here. The men and women, the young and old in that upper room who received the Holy Spirit's fresh wind and fresh fire are declaring the wonders of God in languages, in various languages. Because of the promised Holy Spirit, they were enabled to do more. They were enabled to do more to the glory of God. And that's a third result of being filled with the Spirit too, is unity. A third result of being filled with the Holy Spirit is unity. The Holy Spirit unifies God's people around the purpose of Spirit-filled evangelism and church growth. Spirit-filled evangelism and church growth. Yes, individual growth and growth in numbers. I can't tell you how many different conversations I've had with people where people are on one or the other spectrum. One is, oh no, we just got to be filled on the inside. We have to grow our character. We have to grow in our knowledge of faith and of Jesus. It's inner growth what we really need, what we're really all about here. And you have others who say, no, it's all about the numbers. We need more and more people. We need to bring in more chairs. It's not either or, folks. It's both and. Yes, we need inner growth. We need to grow in the fruits of the Spirit. We need to grow in our practice of the gifts of the Spirit with one another and among each other as a church. But we also need to grow in numbers because we want to grow in numbers, not for the sake of numbers alone. We want more people to hear and respond to the gospel good news of Jesus Christ. Don't we? Don't we want more people to believe in Jesus? Don't we want the kingdom of God to grow? That means we want the church to grow in numbers too. Inward growth and to grow in numbers through evangelism and calling, gathering in God's church. And so the Spirit continues to work as well by knocking down social barriers too, those human-made barriers that tend to keep people apart and cause disunity. Jew and Gentile, slave and free, male and female, racial, economic, gender barriers, those the Spirit continues to tear down as well because we are all one in Christ. Part of that work of the Holy Spirit, we can't do that on our own. That's the work of the Holy Spirit to bring unity, a oneness in Christ, among all of those different human-made social barriers that are out there. So I've mentioned three results of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity. First, a more intimate walk with the Lord, a more intimate walk and relationship with God. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we have a more intimate and more immediate relationship with the Lord. He's not just out there somewhere. He's in here. He's in here. And I can talk to him any day and any time of the day. I have that immediate and intimate relationship because of Jesus Christ. So that's the first result of being filled with the Spirit. Number two, we have new power and energy for ministry and evangelism. New power and energy for evangelism, for sharing the gospel good news, for growing the church inwardly and outwardly, bringing in God's called people. And three, the Holy Spirit unifies God's people to evangelize. Holy Spirit unifies God's people across many different social, economic backgrounds and in order to spread and grow the church of Jesus Christ. Because being in our comfortable, holy huddle is not where we're meant to remain. It's not where we're supposed to always be. There's a time, there's a place to be in that holy huddle. Then there's a time to come up to the line of scrimmage and to play. So we're not meant to remain in that holy huddle. At Pentecost, the apostles went public with the gospel message in a big way. And the good news is that the Holy Spirit of Pentecost is still with the church here today too. We would not have a ministry here at all if it wasn't for the work of the Holy Spirit. It was the work and the leading of the Holy Spirit that led the churches of Fremont to plant a campus ministry here in Big Rapids back in the 1960s. And it's the work and guidance of the Holy Spirit that will lead us as we move forward in ministry too, as a church, to reach the lost in our own communities. And maybe that means giving birth to a church plant in a nearby city. Maybe that means beginning a new diaconal ministry, a service ministry to the poor in our area. Maybe that means, I don't know, the opportunities are limitless through the power of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is also a reason why we have two young people coming to council tomorrow night to profess their faith publicly, that they believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life. We praise God for this. We praise God for the work of the Holy Spirit among us, even though we are socially distant. The good news of Pentecost also includes, of course, the promise of a closer, more intimate walk with the Lord. Are you listening to the Spirit? Are you obeying the promises and the prompting of the Spirit? Are you allowing the Spirit to grow spiritual fruit in your life? Are you open to the Spirit coming upon you to do amazing things for the kingdom of God? Could God do something amazing through you? Are you open to that? Jesus says in Luke 11, verse 13, he says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So pray for the Holy Spirit. Wait for the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. And may God be glorified as his church is gathered and grown by his sovereign grace and the power of the Spirit that he's poured out on the church. May it be so. Let us pray. Lord God, we pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit today. Give us a heart for the lost and a desire to share the good news about Jesus. Lord, we don't want to go out in our own power and strength, so we wait upon your Holy Spirit to guide and lead us in divinely appointed moments. We thank you, Lord, that salvation is not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. Teach us to be respectful of others, but also honest and open about our own values and beliefs in the saving gospel message of Jesus Christ. Grant us the courage to be the truth tellers you have called us to be, and lead us by your Spirit in making disciples of all nations, trusting always in your enduring presence. We give you all the praise and the glory this day, praying in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now may God be with you and keep you close to his heart and bless you today and always, and until we meet again.
Let the sea be moved. Let the fields be filled. Be filled with joy. Obey.